much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You know, we're tired of it. I don't think anybody realizes how bad this is. Just the smell is unbearable.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Kevin Bean. New Kevin Bean theme. By the Lonely Island. They're gonna play it every day from now on. Contractually bound to play it every day, and they will get sued if they don't.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And now,
I'm working hard as ever at a number of things, but there are some things I quit quite a while ago.
Our feature presentation.
How about the basketball game?
Pam Anderson, the late great Leslie Nielsen on the Kevin and Bean Show. I miss that dude.
I do too.
He was great.
He was the best.
But he was losing it at the end, and that's...
You think?
Just a bit.
Yeah. If you're going to lose it, do it at the end, though.
Good point.
Right?
I started early losing it, so...
Yeah.
Got a long life ahead of me with it lost.
I don't think there's much chance Kevin won't have the Alzheimer's, I'll tell you that. There's some people who just worry about it. They go, I hope I don't get that. And Kevin at least has a 50-year head start on it.
I've just accepted my fate as it's already begun.
Yes, you have to know that. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show, kids. It is Thursday today, and here's a story you don't see very often to get us going. Nobody loses any body parts today, by the
way.
I'm actually a little bit disappointed because we had a theme going throughout the week.
We did.
Lisa, you...
I'm a girl. Been hit.
You're a girl, right? And how are they?
Good, thanks.
Good. You've been hit on a few times in your life.
Uh-huh.
What's the... Do you try to let him down gently, or do you... Do you take some pleasure in rejection? How do you handle it? If somebody comes up and they make the move, what do you do?
Do you try to be as nice as possible, probably.
Of course.
Yeah, you know Lisa. She would never be mean on
purpose.
Oh,
I'm so flattered.
Thank you so much.
What? I got someone in my life.
Okay.
But if I didn't.
No, you always say yes. You can't say no. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Let me tell my boyfriend I'll be out tonight.
And what's the reaction generally from guys? Do they just slink away or do they get mad? You ever run into those guys that think you're making the biggest mistake of your life because you don't realize how awesome they are? Has that happened?
Well, yes. Some guys are real salesmen, so they don't quit.
They don't hear that.
Right.
Most guys do, but the real players don't.
No, they don't. That's how they succeed. Yeah. They just keep going, and then that gets annoying.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up is because there's a story in the news out of Boulder, Colorado. A man goes up to a woman at Shooter's Grill and Bar on Saturday night at around 12:45. He later is identified as Timothy Pays, 22 years old. Here's his move. He comes up behind her at the bar and he puts his arm around her.
Okay.
A little forward way to start. Doesn't even say anything. His arm around her. She turns around and says, really? he takes his arm off her and he continues to stand there. We should have done Tell Me How the Story Ends
on this one.
Because you won't have predicted what happens next. A few seconds later, according to the police report, the woman said she felt some sort of liquid hitting her leg.
Oh, no, no,
what?
No.
She initially thought that Pays was spilling his beer on her, but when she turned around, she told police she saw Pays with his penis exposed, urinating on her leg in front of the bar.
Nope.
He peed on her?
He peed on her. That was his response to... really?
Oh, no! Oh, God! No, 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 no!
Ew!
Well, he's not going to get a date.
I'll show you made the wrong decision. Was it R.
See?
Kelly?
I could prove that you should have gone out with me and that I'm an awesome catch. The bar's staff escorted Pays outside, contacted nearby police officer. The officer said that he was visibly intoxicated, and most of his answers were unintelligible.
Yeah.
So he just had to go. He didn't even know. He thought he was in the bathroom at that point.
Certainly could have.
He certainly could have if he's drunk enough, I guess. But
why is there a woman in the bathroom?
It does probably seem like there's some connection between his being rejected and him deciding to pee on her.
Because
he certainly didn't have to pee on her. By the way, I learned a new word. I don't know why we need a new word for urinate, but apparently, according to this article, publicly micturating What? Is against the law. Micturating.
Micturating.
M-I-C. Neither had I. Micturating is apparently the word.
Huh.
Anyway, so that's what happened to our little friend there in Colorado. But, man, that's a story she's got to tell for the rest of her life. You'll never believe what happened to me.
Yeah, so the lesson is reject the guy and then stand back.
Right, move.
Exactly.
Make a move. Get out of the way.
Good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't f***ing ask questions. This isn't some f***ing learning moment.
Didn't ask any questions. I said, let's talk. It's a statement. We got a brand new internet roundup for you.
Okay.
I love the internet roundup so much. It's a good one today, too.
Let's to figure out what's going on with Bean's dog rules at home.
Yeah.
He's got some problems. He's got some real problems.
I got no problems.
You've got a lot of problems.
It's going fine.
Crazy stuff going on over there.
Not even a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. Even Pet Judge Lisa says so.
That's right. Places you were banned from, we're going to take your calls today. As it seems like most of us on this show have been banned from someplace.
Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah. Dr. Drew's on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because we play the most hip-hop and R&B, we've got T.I. coming
wow.
in the studio.
Cool.
He's big time, by the way.
And we got tickets for the campaign, world premiere. Cool. Will Ferrell, Zach right. Galifianakis. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
We will talk to the beautiful Ariane Celeste, UFC Octagon girl, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. I hope she's wearing a bikini. First, though, Ralph, who is wearing a bikini, steps in for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Woo!
Ralph got in here late, and I didn't have his microphone on.
At least you helped me by not having my microphone on.
I had
here.
Extra time to get it on.
Yep.
And didn't.
Smooth.
Nope.
My bad.
You're bad indeed. But things could be worse.
How?
You could be Tatum O'Neal.
What's going on with her?
She's back in rehab.
Oh, poor
according
Tatum.
To sources, yeah, she's getting clean at a facility down in Orange County. And her dear old dad, Ryan O'Neal, the movie actor, longtime movie star, is being very supportive. Friends and family claim. Well, it's only right because he did try to hit on her that one time.
At Ferris' funeral?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The actress has battled a cocaine addiction for years and is said to be struggling with who she is as a person. Her last trip to detox was back in February, so here she goes again. But look, you got to keep going until you get it right, so at least
there's
she's going back.
There's no way to tell, Ralph, but I wonder how much that tremendous early success of hers, being, you know, a global superstar at age 11, I wonder how much that contributed to whatever problems she's had as an adult.
It got her on the wrong path early, that's for sure. And yet someone like Drew Barrymore is able to conquer her demons and move forward right. in a very productive adult life. So
sure.
You never know. It comes down to the person. And speaking of it comes down to the person, Katy Perry.
Yes.
Of course, newly divorced from Russell Brand, said she was going to take some time off from dating, not get too serious with anyone, but apparently she met the right guy. Rumors are swirling that that guy is...
Me?
No, not you.
Oh.
John,
that be a shock?
Just a guess.
John Mayer.
Ooh.
This John Mayer. This guy.
Yeah.
He just Jeez. Gets all the women.
All the women.
Wow.
Yeah.
He had Minka Kelly, right?
Yep.
And Taylor Swift.
Right.
And I don't know who else is coming to mind, but it seems like there's a bunch of them.
I'm trying to think.
Let's compile a list for next hour of his conquests.
Good
it's,
idea.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
He's up there with Pez.
Yeah, Wilmer Valderrama and John Mayer and Adam Levine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. All these guys you just wouldn't ever suspect have just had insane success with
Ryan movies. Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Well, no, not so much Ryan
big
Gosling.
Big ones, right?
Yeah, big ones.
Big ones indeed. I'll tell you, Saved by the Bell just couldn't be hotter.
I'm sorry?
Saved by the Bell. This is the show that won't go away. The 90s show, everyone loved it, kids watched it, and then it seems to have such a big part in people's hearts that the phenomenon just lives on. All the cast has moved on to other projects and do other things. And
except for Screech, right?
Yeah, except for Screech. But now it's inspired a line of nail polish.
Finally.
Yeah, you can get your Saved by the Bell nail polish. Each of the colors is, of course, dedicated to one of the characters from the show. You can get Fashionista Lisa for Lisa Turtle, of course. That's a purple color. Pinham Slater Yellow. That's for Mario Lopez's character, of course. Chick Magnet Zach Blue. Straight A Jesse Orange, Pom Pom Kelly Pink. Oh, I love me some Kelly. That was Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, a Nerd Alert Screech Green you can pick up. So No Mr. Belding color. Well, poor Mr. Belding. He never got his respect.
No. He's probably upset that he didn't get a fingernail polish named after him.
There's a karaoke bar in Burbank where you can find Mr. Belding almost every night.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He goes there every night?
Boy, does he. Yeah. He likes to tip a glass, that Mr.
Toss
Belding.
A few back.
He does. Well, look, after dealing with those kids.
Sure.
And that's cool. You can see why. Bad news if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan.
Oh, I am.
HBO and Larry David have said there are no plans to make any more episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm,
what?
At least for now.
Did we know this? Is this news? Is this new? Is this, have we not heard this before?
This is news, and that's why I do the Showbiz News here in a segment called the Showbiz Beat, to give you news.
Are you joking me? No, I'm not joking. Oh. It's just I hadn't heard of this before. I hadn't heard there were no more Curb episodes. I heard about the movie and all.
Your
but
head
realized...
must explode because you
I
don't know
that.
Something.
Yes. This
well,
is very
I'm
upsetting
here
to
bring
me.
You news.
What's going on,
Bean
Ralph?
Bean has to know stuff first.
Yes.
What fresh hell is this?
Nothing you say can be news to him.
No, it's inconceivable that I could bring him information that he hasn't already heard.
What's happening with Curb?
I thought Larry David kind of, after every season, kind of said, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no? Usually there's a plan in place for when it's going to come back. In this particular case, he and HBO have had a conversation, and the door is always open for him to come back and do more episodes, but there are no such plans as of right now. Nothing scheduled to do any more Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes. He is doing a movie, as Bean mentioned, for HBO, but no episodes.
He's doing a Curb movie?
Not a Curb movie, a comedy movie that he's going to write and star in, but it's not going to be Curb, and there will not be any new episodes of the sitcom in the foreseeable future. Guys at HBO were at the Press Critics Tour yesterday. The TCAs, as they're called, are going on right now, the Television Critics Association. They meet with all the execs and people from the major networks, and they talk about their upcoming plans. And they announced that no more Curb. Oh. Well, for now. Maybe later, but not for now.
It's such a good show. Go back and pick those up if you can.
Yeah.
So good.
You will enjoy it. And the best news of the day by far is that we now know who will play the bad guy in the upcoming Thor 2 movie. Christopher Eccleston.
Was this in the news?
Christopher Eccleston, who, of course, was Doctor Who for a short period of time, has signed to play Malekith the Accursed!
Yeah!
Woo! Well, the kids are excited.
You say that like we're supposed to know what that means.
Yes, Malekith the Accursed.
It's hard to say.
Was the ruler of the Dark Elves.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Of Svartalheim.
I'm sorry?
Of Svartalheim.
Making stuff up.
The Dark Elves of Svartalheim.
Wow.
He ruled them. Malekith was their ruler. And, of course, he wielded the Casket of Ancient Winters. You remember that.
No, obviously.
No idea what
obviously.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, I can't wait to see the Dark Elves of Svartalheim.
Aren't they from Asgard?
Thor? Thor is from Asgard, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now they got Fart?
Fart? Svartalheim.
Right, whatever. Just saying.
You don't get it, man.
No, I don't.
And I wonder if Chris Pine is getting tired of playing roles made famous by other people.
Why, what's
he is now? Going to be the new Jack Ryan in the Tom Clancy Jack Ryan movie reboot. Of course, the Tom Clancy movies like The Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games, all based on the character Jack Ryan from the
good.
Tom Clancy novels.
Yeah.
Great books and great movies. Mm-hmm. This role has been played previously by Alec Baldwin. Of course, he played it in Hunt for Red October. Harrison Ford had a great run playing Jack Ryan for a couple films. Ben Affleck even took his shot.
Ben.
And now Chris Pine will be the new Jack Ryan, and the film is going to be directed by Kenneth Branagh, who's a great director and a great actor in his own right. So now they just have to find out who's going to play his wife. Ann Archer played it in the original films with Harrison Ford. But it looks like Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel are in the talks.
They should be in every movie.
They really could. To play Chris Pine's wife. Also, he's looking at Los Evangeline Lilly.
Wow.
No kidding. That's for a three-picture deal for the franchise as well. So, did I mention the Dark Eyes of Svartalheim?
You sure did.
Dark Elves?
I didn't recognize any of those words, but...
Today's celebrity birthdays. Good bunch. Good bunch of birthdays today. Actor Edward Furlong is 35 years old today. Actor Sam Worthington. There's a Terminator connection between those two. He is 36 years old. Mary Louise Parker of Weeds is 48. Butch Vig. Music producer, drummer, of course, from Garbage and Nirvana, 57 years old today. Wes Craven, one of the pioneers and icons of modern horror films, is 73 years old. Peter O'Toole, brilliantly talented actor who just recently retired, turns 80 years old today. And my old pal and partner, Kevin Smith, actor and director and writer, celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One of the most successful rappers in the world, T.I., joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show later on today. He's crossed over into acting and is appearing on Boss, that Kelsey Grammer show on Starz. So we'll talk to T.I. all about that. Dr. Drew on the show today. Also, we're going to hook you up with more tickets for Jack White. Today's your last day to win those tickets for Jack White at the Shrine and be qualified for the drawing we do tomorrow to send you to the Voodoo Experience in New Orleans to see Jack White and about 80 other acts. Details at KROQ.com.
A lot of times something comes up on the show and we have to make a note that we don't have time at that moment to deal with it. But at some time in the future, we're going to have to. And yesterday during Pet Judge Lisa, we were talking about what possible disputes you could have about a pet if you're a couple. And Bean said sometimes Yum Yum or Veruca Salt or whatever his dog's names are, sometimes they'll sleep in the bed with him. And then if they start snoring a lot, Bean or his wife or whoever's bothered by it will move and go to another bedroom. And we were like, wait a minute, the people move? because in my life, the dog gets moved.
Really?
And I stay in bed because it's my bed and I'm a person.
And the dog has a bed on the floor, probably.
The dog does have a bed. Dog bed. A very nice dog bed.
Yes.
That she enjoys being in.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets moved immediately. There's no people moving.
I hadn't thought about that approach, but I guess that would work too. I guess that whatever works for you that's fine.
But I'm saying you get up and move and leave the dog in the bed.
And when we asked you, you said, "Well, there are other beds."
Yeah,
like it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal to get up and walk 30 feet to go to another room and go back to sleep.
It's an easier deal just to move the dog.
Well, then it's, but then you got to take the dog out, you know, downstairs.
That's why you start the dog in the dog bed, and then you don't have this issue at all because it's a dog, and you're a human being.
Look, it works for us. It's not that big a deal. I don't know why it was so disturbing to everybody.
Can't imagine doing that.
I just thought we needed a little follow-up. So I believe the King of Mexico has lined up for us. Is it Yum Yum?
Yeah, it's Yum Yum.
Wait, this is my dog Yum Yum is on the phone right now?
Yeah. What do you want? Yum. Busy. You got something to say?
Well, I don't know. Where are you, Yum?
I'm in your bed, smoking. What are you doing?
You're not supposed to smoke in the house.
Yeah. Well, why don't you lick me?
Yum, we just wanted to follow up and figure out what
I'm tired of doing it myself, even though I'm a dog.
What exactly are the rules in the Bean household for the pets?
The rules are Bean's my bitch. That's
really?
Not the only rule. Hey, shut up.
True.
I'm talking.
Wow. I don't appreciate.
Hey.
Bean, let him talk.
Yeah. Listen, you do what I say. If I'm snoring, you get up out of the bed, you go to another bed. Don't you move me. I'll take your freaking arm off.
This does not seem like a loving relationship.
It doesn't.
It's loving. I love the way he does whatever the F I say he does. I love that.
Well, I mean, I am the one who pays.
Well, I, blah, 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 blah. Well, I, blah, 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 blah. What a bitch.
I was actually going to give you some support for your position because I do pay for everything. I buy all your food.
That's right, you do.
Take you to the vet. I'm the one who takes you for the walk.
Yeah, by the way, buy better food. What's
really?
This crap in a can? Can't you cook me something once in a while, bitch?
Like, what do you want him to cook?
I don't know. Filet mignon.
Filet mignon. That seems reasonable, Bean.
Chateaubriand. I don't know. Something good.
Wow. I didn't realize
Evo
that this
in a can. It smells like chicken crap.
I didn't realize this is the way you looked at things, Yum Yum. I thought we got along
great. I look
great.
At things the way they are, bitch. Which is shut up till I'm done talking.
I thought
get out of my bed when I'm snoring. And by the way, have I ever thrown my back out lifting you? No, because you're the bitch.
I thought you were supposed to be man's best friend, Yum Yum.
Yeah,
come on.
I thought you were supposed to be a man. I guess we were both wrong.
Why am I being insulted by my own puppy?
Who was the one who had their balls removed? I think it was you, bitch.
Oh, man.
Actually,
the dog whisperer is not going to be happy with you, Bean.
That actually was you, Yum. Yeah. We actually did have you fixed. Sorry
yeah, well.
About that.
Seems like mine have grown back. Where are yours go?
All right, I'm sorry to bother you so early.
I gotta
morning.
Go bang his wife. I'll see you later.
Once again, today we're going to hook you up with tickets for the Red Carpet World Premiere, which I believe is tonight. The movie premiere that you were talking about in your traffic, Lisa, is going to be tonight with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. Their film called The Campaign. We're going to hook you up with tickets later on this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Do you guys know the name Maura Johnson? Does that name sound familiar? Maura Johnson?
No, should we?
She has been in the news. I apologize. It's Johnston. Maura Johnson.
Ah, yes, her I know.
Now you know, yeah. She has been in the news quite a bit this summer. She has filed suit against yoga studios in New York because she lives there and she is a topless advocate.
Yes. Me too. I'm a topless advocate.
You guys have something in common.
Right.
She believes that if men can walk around topless, women can walk around topless. And apparently, that is the law in New York City. Apparently, it is legal in New York City for women to walk around topless.
Yeah, I remember they passed that just a year or two ago.
Now, I've been to New York a lot. Why have I not seen this? Why is this not taken off? Why is this not the thing?
Because most women don't really want to.
Yeah, I don't think most women want to, especially the women that you would want to. I don't think they want to.
Especially in New York.
Especially in New York.
She has filed suit against a yoga studio there and then other yoga studios also in New York because she says that she was at a class and she was topless like she always tries to be and that there were complaints about her showing her bare breasts in the yoga class and that the instructor told her she had to put her top on.
They must not be very good.
They are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. We got to find a video. We got to find it. See if we can find a video that we. Well, maybe we'll find one and tweet it if they won't let us put it up on the site. But she just walks around topless all the time. And I'm curious, as we hear some tape from Maura Johnston, I'm curious if we have any of these topless advocate ladies listening to our show. I'm wondering if this is a cause that any Kevin and Bean listeners have taken up.
Guys, really? We don't need to hear from you. We know your answer.
We assume that you're fine with it, guys. But, I mean, are there any more Johnstons listening to our show who agree with her and think that women should be able to walk around topless and also want to walk around topless? I want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. There is the annual, I can't remember what they call it, but there's some sort of a topless awareness day or something like that that's coming up later this month. There is a day that is set aside that they are going to nationwide try to get as many women as possible to go topless for the cause. Lisa.
Do we gather somewhere? How does it work? Or do we just do it at work?
Just take, yes.
Just do it at work?
Yes. Thank you for
Bring
that option.
Bring your tatas to work.
I want to say it's August 26th is when National Topless Day is this year. But as we prepare to hear this tape that I'm going to play for you right now, ladies, if you are on board with Maura, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the video that came out this week of her doing interviews as she's walking around in New York just topless. And most people, by the way, on the street, not even giving her a second glance.
Then they're
just
not that good.
Just walking by. No, they're fine. I think that's the New York way. But let's hear what Maura has to say.
I'm Maura Johnston. I'm 29 years old, and I do topless activism. So I walk around topless in public and also in spaces where men are allowed to go top-free, such as yoga studios in the city. And I consider this a demonstration to raise public awareness that it's legal for women to be topless anywhere that a guy can go without a shirt.
By the way, I don't know if it comes up with Ms. Johnston or not, but it's really not the same having women topless as it is having men topless.
Her
right?
point is it is.
And I've never seen topless men in a yoga studio. Everybody has to wear clothes.
Yeah.
I saw Kobe in a nightclub topless. If he can do that, then all the girls in the nightclub should have been topless as well.
And I will say, not to take anything away from her point, but it is awfully hard to concentrate on what she's saying when you're watching the video. You know what I'm saying? You're distracted. I mean, you can't help but be distracted when you're listening to a topless woman talk to you.
Which is part of the problem, I think.
But I mean, if women did it all the time, you would become desensitized.
Nope.
I think you would.
And where was this story when Ariane Celeste was in the studio, for God's sake?
That's a great point. Why not
bring in New York State since 1992. I don't necessarily think it's the healthiest thing for us to just exclusively think of women's breasts and sexual on commercial terms.
Okay. Thoughts?
Well, I agree with that. We're crazy uptight about our bodies.
Agreed.
Very different than Europe. So if this would sort of further that, I think that's great.
Is New York the only place where it's legal? Do you know, Bean?
I don't. I don't know. It should be legal in Southern California.
That was my question.
I think. Stacey, you hang on. We're going to get to you in 1 second. And does this kind of dovetail nicely into, and you're right, Lisa, people do freak out about boobies, but does this dovetail into the disagreements that we hear in the news all the time about people breastfeeding in public, too, where people say, oh, you should take that in the bathroom or you should put that away or you should cover or whatever?
Definitely, yeah.
People just wig out if you're breastfeeding, and the women would argue, and I think rightfully so, that there's nothing less sexual than breastfeeding a child, right?
And that's what they're actually for. That was the original.
Don't be ridiculous.
Use. Yeah, turns out that's why they're different than yours, boys.
What?
Yes.
I've got a lot of learning to do. All right, here's more from Maura, then we'll go to you, Stacey.
Like, that's part of the breastfeeding issue is people view breasts as exclusively sexual, and there's a social stigma associated with feeding your children. And, you know, our body parts are more than just sexual and commercial.
I didn't know that.
I'd like people to know about what their rights are and also to feel the courage, because some people, they want to do it, but they tell me that they feel afraid to do it for some reason.
All right. That's where we go to Stacey, because that apparently is her issue. She is on line two, and she joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about topless activism. Hi, Stacey.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
What about my little friend Maura Johnston, who I now love? What about her?
I have to say that I semi-agree with her. I think that women should be able to be liberated and walk around, you know, just like men.
I'm with
you. However, and as great as that would be, I mean, there's a lot of nice boobies out there, but as great as that would be, I think that it would cause a little backlash because, you know, I think that men have a little bit of a problem just seeing women walk around topless. So
you think?
They have a hard time. Well, yeah.
You think that might be a problem? Okay. You think you might be walking around with 10 guys around you?
Well, exactly. So, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Europe, and it's great. The beaches are awesome. Everyone's topless, and it's not a big issue because that's what they're used to. And however, if it was something that was newly enforced here, I don't really feel that it would be accepted as easily.
No, but, I mean, men had trouble with women voting at one time, too. Some still
do. By the way, I'd still like to revisit that topic. I don't mind telling you.
But, but someone's got to spearhead this stuff.
Somebody has to spearhead it, right. So I'd like to suggest in Southern California.
I think we should spearhead this.
That's what I'm saying. In Southern California, I believe the Nike U.S. Open of Surf is going on this week at Huntington Beach.
Perfect. Uh-huh. Oh, you sunblock ladies.
Be a good opportunity, you're saying, to get some topless chicks
out there? I'm just saying, you need to get it started someplace, and it might as well be HB.
That's a good place.
What about a live Kevin and Bean broadcast on Topless Advocacy Day?
Someplace what, Stacey?
Someplace you don't actually have to tip the girl to see the boobs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Now, Stacey, would you walk around topless, though, if it were, I mean, if we were a little bit further down the road? You mentioned the beaches in Europe. I mean, with this chick, Maura, she just walks around, you know, shopping day to day in New York City with her top off. Is that something you'd feel comfortable doing?
You know, there's a time and a place for everything. I mean, I definitely wouldn't show up at Easter dinner, you know, topless.
Right, but, right.
Why? Let's not. Why?
I wouldn't want to make my grandmother jealous. I'm a little quirkier than she is.
Or grandma would do the same, and nobody wants that.
That's the fear. When you're older, you just don't care anymore. So
right.
I'm sure she'd probably join in. But,
yeah, that's,
you know,
it's not good.
We have tweeted this video of Maura Johnston from the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, which is at Kevin and Bean, and it is also on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to see it. You should definitely check out Maura. So, Stacey, August 26th is coming up. What if we try to organize something, some sort of a National Topless Day thing? Will you come to it?
Sure, I'll be there.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about. All right.
This is, you guys.
We're getting the ball rolling here.
That?
Well, we're really concerned about women's rights.
I bet you are. Women's rights.
Look,
woo!
We care about women.
Right.
Stacey, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
I want to take a quick moment out of the Showbiz Beat, just really quickly, if I could do a little personal errand.
No.
I think I have control of the vessel at this moment.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're all going. I'm driving us into it. I'm driving us into a pole, and no one could stop me. I got the wheel. 42 years ago, in a small state in this great nation called New Jersey, there was a mingling of egg and seed. And then something magical happened. My buddy Kevin Smith was born, and I want to give him a shout-out and wish him a happy birthday. So I had Dave, the King of Mexico, dial him up on the phone. Mr. Smith?
Oh, my Lord, you referenced the goo from which I came.
Yeah. I did, yes. Well, you've done it so much recently, it seemed appropriate.
I had to read way too much about that in your book, Kevin.
There was a lot of fluid in that book. Hey, everybody, how are you?
Happy birthday, Kevin Smith.
42 years old, thank you so, so much. You know what they can get me as a gift, Ralph?
What's that, sir?
They can come see us do Hollywood Babylon this Saturday at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater.
Well, you are a shameless promoter, sir.
The UFC this Saturday, but next one for sure.
Oh yeah.
I mean, well, Kevin and I will throw down. Kevin and I will get into the octagon Saturday night.
Will you fight Saturday
night? Sure, absolutely.
Can I tell you what 42 has been like so far?
Please.
Yeah.
42 is waking and baking and listening to Paul Davis's Cool Night 20 times in a row.
Cool Night.
Remember that song?
Sure, of course. Cool
Night. I don't.
That's what 42 has been, kid.
Wow.
Live your life while you're young, because at 42, you just listen to Paul Davis over and over.
But only if you're high, Kevin. There's no way you make that decision if you're not high.
I don't know. The sad thing is I do.
Is that a positive thing, to get stoned and listen to songs from your youth over and over again? Or is it like a creepy, sitting-in-the-dark, weird thing?
Are you sobbing?
There used to be a lot of 80s tunes, and lately I've been going now back to the 70s. Pretty soon I'll be going back before my birth, man.
Are you sobbing at the same time, or is everything all right?
I'm going to keep that on the down low.
Sounds mellow.
I've got these boxes of Kleenex, man.
You're wearing them on your feet like Howard Hughes.
let me throw this out there and tell me if I'm dead wrong on this, Mr. Smith. And by the way, happy birthday too from me.
Thank you so much,
Bean. But when you have a beard, like you've been rocking a beard for a long, long time, it really is impossible to tell how old a dude is. If Ralph said you were 32, I would have believed it. If he said you were 52, I would have believed it. You can't tell when a guy's got a beard.
It's true, and more so than a beard, I got what they call a neck beard. That's what the fat dudes wear. So it keeps going. It looks like you're wearing a beard of bees. So it does cover even more of the face and probably more of the wrinkly old neck. But you're right, man. With a beard, for all you know, I could be 18 to 88.
Let's change it, Ralph. You look good, by the way. You look really good for 42.
Let's change
it. This is what 42 looks like, man. So long as you spent the last decade in imbibing lots of weed,
Well, anyway, we just wanted to ring you up this morning and give you a shout-out, sir. A lot of folks from the K-Rock listening audience were mentioning it was your birthday, and they wanted to say hi. So I thought,
you rock.
I thought we'd dial you up.
You know, if people want to hear me and Ralph together, go listen to, I do a new podcast called Fat Man on Batman.
Right.
And it's me talking to people who've been involved with Batman. Ralph, of course, got Adam West, the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he's an Uber fan, so he was on the show this week.
Uh-huh.
Ralph tells the most touching story about his mom building him a homemade bat cave that will make every K-Rock listener question what they knew about Ralph Garman.
That's true, yes.
It's profound. It's touching, dude. Really, really touching. You can hear it at smodcast.com.
And apparently it also makes a lot of people question their own relationships with their own mothers, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of anger out there for their moms.
That as well. And you know what? It doesn't matter because it's a cool night, dude.
Oh,
all right, Paul Davis.
File!
Put him in the file.
Go back to your weed and your Paul Davis, sir.
Thank you, guys. See you soon.
Happy birthday.
Bye-bye. See you Saturday.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye, Kev.
Best guy in the world.
He is a great dude.
Ralph, I see you're taking the podcast to Canada. How about that?
Yeah, we're going to Ottawa this month.
That's very exciting.
It's very exciting. We're playing like a 1,000-seater.
Wow.
Apparently, Canada really wants to see us. So
you just have to say A a lot.
We have sold out at like a 1,000-seat theater for that's Hollywood amazing. Babylon. Which is
How'd
amazing.
You choose Ottawa of all the cities in Canada? Because, you know, obviously that's not the population center of the country.
I think that's their capital, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Well, we're starting with the capital. We're going to take the country, their seat of government. We're going to take the country.
Made that up on the spot.
No, I don't know how it worked out. I think it had something to do with Smith's schedule, actually, because he does a lot of shows up there, and I think he was going to be there for some Comic-Con event or something. And we just thought
that should be fun.
We've been dying to get up there and do a show, so it just seemed schedule-wise to make sense.
Fantastic.
And this week we're at the Lovitz, and then next week we're going to be in San Juan Capistrano at the Coach House.
Oh, that's cool.
Down deep in Orange County, so a lot of stuff going on this week.
Got a road show.
A lot of road shows, yeah. While we're talking about Kevin Smith, of course, a director of many movies and a writer of many films as well, the new list of the top 50 films of all time from Sight & Sound magazine has been released. This is from the British Film Institute. This is the first time in the history of the list that Citizen Kane wasn't number one.
Oh, because of Paul Blart?
Yeah, Paul Blart Mall Cop finally knocked Citizen Kane off the top of the list. This time around, it was Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo as the greatest film of all time, according to the list.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, that movie has always been on the list, but years go by and it just continues to creep up further and further and further. Like, what causes a reassessment of a movie that's 40 years old? Like, how does it happen that it becomes more popular now with critics than it was 10 years ago and 20 years ago?
I think the critics change, you know? Their opinions change, and the new critics are added to the list. They asked 846 international film critics to make their decisions, and this is the first time Vertigo has knocked Citizen Kane out of the top.
Well, if you ever want to feel like, especially you, Kevin, that you've never seen a movie, take a look at this list and see how many titles you even recognize.
Oh, I haven't seen most of them.
Well, it is an international film critics list, so you get a lot of films, as you can imagine, from other countries. So the top five, it's Vertigo, then Tokyo Story,
La Règle du Jeu.
Oh, that's a good one.
Sunrise, A Song for Two Humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the big
ones. Haven't even heard of them.
No. But I thought it was odd, not so much the films that made the top 10 or the top 50 even, but the ones that were left out. The 2001 Space Odyssey, that's in the top 10. John Wayne's Western, The Searchers, considered the greatest Western of all time, that's in the top 10. Godfather doesn't show up till number 21 on the list,
what?
By the way.
That's ridiculous.
That's bogus.
Apocalypse Now is 14th.
Where's LOL?
Godfather 2 was 31st. Goodfellas, Raging Bull, neither made the top 50.
That's ridiculous.
Psycho was 35th, another Hitchcock film. Singing in the Rain, Some Like It Hot. Not a single Steven Spielberg movie.
Where's The Hangover?
Not a single Ingmar Bergman movie. Kurosawa.
This looks not on the bogus list.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And you know what else is weird is another movie that is on the list, Ralph. You just named some phenomenal films that didn't make the list.
Yeah.
Mulholland Drive by David Lynch is on that list.
No surprise. Critics
really?
Critics love Lynch, especially foreign critics love Lynch.
But that movie of Lynch's movies, would you even pick that as his best movie? I didn't hold a candle to Blue Velvet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you had to pick a Lynch movie, you'd probably pick Blue Velvet. But I love the more I see Mulholland Drive, the more I love it.
I never understood it once and didn't watch it again.
Oh, it's crazy. Remember when that little midget comes out from the dumpster?
Yeah, and why?
A little tiny person? Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. And sad news for music fans. Peter Frampton, legendary guitar player Peter Frampton, was hurt in a car accident here in Southern California on Tuesday. He's not dead, Bean. Just got hit in a car accident. He was stuck in traffic on the 101 here in Los Angeles and got rear-ended by a female driver who was texting at the wheel.
Oh, look at that.
Here we go again with the female drivers, Lisa. Ugh.
What?
They shouldn't even be allowed to drive, right, fellas? Are you with me?
Either guys text as much as women.
That's ridiculous.
I bet she was putting on her makeup with the other hand while she was texting with the other one, eating a burrito with the third hand.
She doesn't have three hands.
She doesn't?
No.
Yeah, got rear-ended. Apparently, he's got pain in his back and neck. He is going to be checked out at the at a clinic in Minnesota as soon as he gets there, but bad problems. Apparently, she didn't know where she was going, and she told Peter, "I want you to show me the way."
Come on.
File.
Come
really?
On!
That was an attempt at a file, though, right?
Yeah, I was trying to earn the file on that one.
Do you guys feel like we do that was a lame-ass attempt just to make a bad
yes!
joke?
You missed it! He just did it, too!
I didn't get it.
Do you feel how I feel?
I don't understand that.
Nothing?
That's a song title?
You get nothing? No. Nothing? All pops and buzzes from
sorry.
Here? Today's celebrity birthdays, as we mentioned, my buddy Kevin Smith turns 42 years old today. Peter O'Toole turns 80. Director Wes Craven is 73 years old. Butch Vig from Garbage and Nirvana. Have you listened to that new Garbage album? I got it in my car. I just listened to it constantly.
Love it.
Boy's had a good album. 57 years old. Mary Louise Parker of Weeds fame is 48. What are the odds a star of Weeds would be born the same day as Kevin Smith?
Good point.
It's also
100%.
Sam Worthington, actor from Terminator Salvation, also Wrath of the Titans and Clash of the Titans and anything with Titans.
Other Titans.
Remember the Titans. A lot of, all those Titans.
Titans come back.
36 years old today, Edward Furlong, speaking of Terminator movies, is 35. And Dave's very upset because I didn't get any love to Judge Ito. Judge Ito's birthday today.
Who's that?
Who's Judge Ito?
Yeah.
You don't remember Judge Ito?
Kevin.
The Alzheimer's. O.J. Simpson trial?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Kevin's got the Alzheimer's.
Wow, I think he does have the Alzheimer's.
Because he watched that more than anybody.
I know. And we talked
that was 10, 15
but Judge
years
Ito,
ago.
That's a name that just automatically, you right. know who we're talking about, right?
Well, all right.
Lance Ito.
Take it easy.
Don't make me separate you two.
Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not form any opinions about the case. Do not conduct any deliberations till the matter has been submitted to you. Do not allow anybody to communicate with you right. with regard to this case.
That guy.
I want you
no.
to answer
nope.
my
no.
question.
Judge Judy.
Oh, that's different.
And this is Pet Judge Lisa. We're going to have to teach Kevin I'm the sorry. Judges all over
Let's
again.
Let's start again.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rapper T.I. joins us 1 hour from right now in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show because we do play the most hip-hop and R&B for Southern California. As you know, he's on the new show Boss, or coming back for a second season, Boss, with Kelsey Grammer on Stars, plus a brand-new internet roundup for you later this half hour. Right now, though, this should be fun. I'm looking forward to this.
How'd this topic come up? You got banned from places.
I saw that Jay Adams was banned from Twitter.
Okay.
For NBC, had him banned. And I just came to my head, like, that'd be a funny phone-in topic. Because I know a lot of people are banned from different places.
I got banned from Disneyland when I was a kid.
What the hell did you do as a kid?
I was on Tom Sawyer Island. Is that still there?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I climbed up in a tree. and I was a little dick. I was breaking off little branches and throwing them at people because I thought it was funny.
And they banned you
kicked your whole family out. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, how fun for your brother.
Good times. My mom and dad must have been so proud.
Oh.
Muggs, you got kicked out of someplace?
Yeah. I was kicked out of a restaurant in Santa Monica. It'll remain nameless, but it was a jazz concert.
Rusty's Chicken Shack?
What?
No, I was just guessing. That's just a guess. That's the first one that came.
I didn't say that's where it was. A terrible guess. terrible guess.
Anyway, what happened?
That's a good cover, though,
Muggs.
I
got thrown out, picked up, carried by two of the bouncers for moshing at one of their jazz concerts.
You were moshing during the jazz?
Oh,
you
must have just been smashed.
I was hammered.
Nobody moshes at a jazz concert.
So I started the mosh pit, and they picked me up, carried me out, and told me never to come back.
They did the right thing.
Yeah.
We're going to take calls from people who have been banned from any place. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I feel like you kind of rushed through your story, Kevin. How do they ban you at Disneyland?
I don't know. And
what do your parents do when they? I mean, how did it all go down? Do you remember?
Barely, because I was really young. But I don't think it's the kind of thing where they probably keep track. You know what I mean? Like, had we gone back a month later, I don't imagine my picture was up or anything.
They just wanted to show how angry they were at what you'd done and try to scare you into behaving.
Because I was tearing up their property. I mean, I was a dick.
You were a hoodlum. What did your parents do? Did you suffer additional consequences from them for your bad behavior?
They were never happy with me, Bean. I think they all know.
I was just still grounded.
And I was a constant disappointment to my family.
And I still are, by the way.
And honestly, I wasn't trying to be mean or anything. It just cracked me up. I just thought it was the funniest thing.
And I
thought everybody else would also find it that funny. And that was not the case.
Did they take you to Disney jail?
No, they just kicked us out of the park.
Oh.
Do you find that as a parent now, you are so grateful that your kids are much better behaved than you were?
So far.
Can you imagine what it would have been like, what it would be like for you if your kids were as bad as you were?
I mean, I wasn't... I was
the stories with the fire and the firecrackers.
I lit some stuff on fire. Let's focus on other people now. You were banned from something. 1-800-520-1067. Dave, you were banned from what?
Yeah, I was banned. I'm banned from Whiskey Pete's, State Line.
Okay.
In Nevada.
What'd you do there?
Well, when we were younger, I went and had a little too much cocktails,
really?
You know, before. And it was their Christmas time. They had this big setup of a Christmas tree next to their famous Bonnie and Clyde car, which is, you know, one of their main attractions.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddies thought it would be funny to push me into the Christmas tree, which it was very funny until the Christmas tree fell into the Bonnie and Clyde car. And me being intoxicated... And on top of the Bonnie and Clyde car in a Christmas tree, that didn't go over well with security.
No.
So we're taken to this nice little office, you know, fingerprinted, had her picture taken, signed some forms, and we're gone, you know.
Sweet.
It's better
now,
than being arrested.
They mean business, right?
Yeah, yeah. They mean business. And, you know,
at a casino, they'll put up a picture. And...
Yeah, I'm just glad I wasn't arrested, you know, because I could have been arrested for that.
Sure.
But I'll happily not go there anymore.
You're fine with
that?
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. I'm not missing
How do you live not being able to go to Whiskey Pete's? Speaking of Las Vegas, let's get Joe in real quick. He's on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We want to take your calls. Where have you been banned from, or what have you been banned from, like the journalist on Twitter? 1-800-520-1067. Joe, you were in Las Vegas, and what happened?
I was in Las Vegas, and I ended up pushing the security guard at the Harrah's Casino, and they panned me. They swarmed me, grabbed a couple guys, and...
Why did you push him?
Well, I was trying to break up a fight that was between my dad and, I guess, some random guy, and they thought that I was trying to fight. So the security guard pushed me, and I pushed him back. I said, don't push me. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to break it up. And
oh, I see.
So they swarmed me, took me downstairs, and... asked me a bunch of questions. I had my ID in my pocket, and they were trying to get my information. I said, I'm not going to give you my name and everything like that. If they were smart enough, they could have seen that my ID was in my pocket.
Of course, yeah.
Searched me.
Hmm.
And tell me about Las Vegas. When you're banned in Las Vegas, I mean, do they keep track of something like that? Like, if you went to Harrah's today, would they notice?
I don't think so, because they don't know my name. They never got my name. They ended up just taking me to the back, into the alley, and just like, don't come back
here. Just beat the hell out of you?
Beating you, yeah.
Just turn off the cameras in the room and beat you up?
I told them, I said, so you're going to take me to the back and beat me up now? And they're like, they laughed, and they read me like this, like, official document that said, you can't come to this casino and all the sisters' casinos, and don't come back again.
Yeah, when you get 86 from Vegas, it's basically... It's not like you're banned from it, but if you show up on their property, you will get arrested. That's what it is. you know.
Arrested for trespassing?
For trespassing,
oh, no
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
You should try that out, Joe.
On any of their properties.
Actually, I'm going again this August on the 23rd.
Excellent. So go we'll to Harris.
Out. Yeah,
go.
That's what I'm saying.
Go to Harris. Fantastic. Right, good man. Good man.
All right. We'll come back with your telephone calls. What or where were you banned from? I don't think we've ever had this conversation before. This is fun. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin DeBee. Do we know our listeners or do we know our listeners?
Well, unfortunately, we do sometimes.
You got banned from somewhere or something, 1-800-520-1067. Getting right back to your calls here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. Rick writes in, I have a friend, a girl, who was banned for riding Ghost Rider at Knott's Berry Farm topless. Yes, it was a dare. She was wearing a hoodie with nothing underneath. Once the ride started going, she took it off and rode the ride topless. She was thrown out. Should we be discouraging
no,
that kind of behavior?
She should be given a medal.
She should be given a free pass to come back, right?
Yeah, a reward of some kind.
All right, let's go to let's keep in the theme park world. Go to Daniel. Daniel is on line 6. Apparently, he's also been banned.
Hey, Daniel,
how you doing, Kevin and Bean? What's going on, Lisa?
Hi there.
You were banned from Magic Mountain.
I was banned from Six Flags Magic Mountain during the Halloween haunt for punching one of the guys in their little mazes in the face.
One of the workers?
Whoa! You broke his nose?
Yes, I did. I told my girlfriend at the time, this is not a good idea. You do not want to put me in here. And she kept begging and begging and begging. So I figured, screw it, let's go. And it was the last room in the maze, the black dot with neon lights and everything, or black lights. And I was in pretty good camouflage. I couldn't see him. And then just jumped out right in front of me, and I punched him right in the face.
Well, why are you a dick then?
It wasn't. I said
yes.
It's not a good idea. Don't.
That's
you get
what they
there.
Do.
When but, you get scared, you punch?
Yeah, is that just a natural
well,
reaction?
If you're going to jump out in front of me, like right in front of my face and go, boo, and you're within arm's length, yeah, I'm going to punch
you're
you.
You're at the Halloween haunt.
But Daniel, if you're at a Halloween maze and you know people.
I didn't want to go in there. Oh. I wanted to have sex with my girlfriend later on that night. That's why I went in there.
Listen
Daniel
him,
has anger
justified.
Issues. How did
and
that work out?
I looked at the security and said, I'll just see you guys outside the maze. And they escorted me out, and they're like, all right, don't ever come back here. And I was like, well, I'm not getting arrested. They're like, well, we do tell our employees, don't get within arm's length specifically for that reason. He got within arm's length, and he got punched.
Well,
so they escorted me out.
Daniel says he got punched like it had nothing to do with him.
He's it's still on you, Daniel. You're the dick. But thank you for the call. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
He did warn his girlfriend that he shouldn't go in there, by the way.
He did.
I don't know if you caught that or not.
Sure.
All right. Let's try change topics a little bit. Let's go to Jack on line 2. This is a very bizarre thing to be banned from. But, Jack, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Lisa, how you doing?
Good.
You got banned from what?
I got banned from the state of Missouri.
A whole state? You can't go anywhere in Missouri?
I have a 12-year ban that that they put on me at the courts because I was using I was so intoxicated. I went to two bars to impress a girl, and I used two fake IDs.
Right.
And at the same time, and I asked for them back, and they said no. They said talk to the police officer to the right of me, and I took off running.
Okay.
And the funny part of the story is they thought I was a 20-year-old drug kingpin, so they sent out the helicopters after me, and they found me about 6 hours later, and they arrested me, and I spent the weekend in jail, and went in front of the judges, and I went through three judges, and they said, hey, just leave the state, don't come back for 12 years, have a good life.
That's awesome.
I've never heard of that before.
You got banned from a state. You win.
Do you ever want to test that? Do you ever just want to just to try, just to see what would happen?
You know, being the show me state, I figured, you know, there's not much to go back to in Missouri, but I'd love to give it a shot, but, you know, my luck's not too well, so I'm just going to pass on that.
Gotcha.
Wow. All right, Jack. Let's go bigger than a state. You want to?
What?
Let's
bigger
go
than
bigger.
A state?
Let's go to Clinton. Hi, Clinton.
Hey, how's it going?
You're banned from what?
Hong Kong.
So that's a country?
No, it's part of China, but it's like it's a special administrative region.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. How do you get banned from Hong Kong?
How do you get banned from there?
I was out with some friends in Wan Chai having a few drinks, and this guy came up to me and attacked me. And he happened to be a Chinese nationalist. I don't know what I did, but you know, you get arrested. You know, I'm a big guy, and apparently he lost 5 teeth. And
Apparently, he lost five teeth. Again, right. Like it has nothing to do with in the passive voice, right?
He kept attacking me, and I was just trying to defend myself. And finally, I hit him. And in court, the judge goes, you know, this guy lost five teeth. And I go, I punched him once, and I said, I go, poor dental hygiene and tooth decay is why his teeth came out.
Nice.
Not my punch.
Now you're full. Do you know Rick from Magic Mountain, by the way? You guys have a lot in common.
No.
Did the judge appreciate that assessment?
But I was banned, and I was living in Hong Kong, and they asked me to leave.
Sweet.
So I was pretty upset.
This has gotten much bigger than we ever anticipated, right, B?
Yeah. Banned from states, banned from Hong Kong. That's crazy. Doesn't make Disneyland sound so bad after all,
that's
does it,
right,
Kevin?
Not so bad.
Love that neon trees, by the way.
That's
fun band. Hey, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, just looking ahead, Kate Beckinsale.
Beer Mug,
you didn't ruin that for us last night on the red carpet of the Total Recall.
That was my first question. Beer Mug went on the red carpet and interviewed Kate Beckinsale, and I said, did you ruin it for us tomorrow, or are we going to have to apologize for anything?
I've actually made relations better.
That's not possible. Yeah. I put money against it.
I just figured we'd be banned from Kate Beckinsale after you talked to her. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. T.I. joins us in about 20 minutes. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com and you can see all of these videos in one place. The first one is, it always cracks me up when people use a song or a soundtrack from something else and they put it with different video. Mm-hmm. This particular one is Hitler giving a speech.
Is that famous one?
To a bunch of Nazis. And he's doing this song. They put this song together so that it sort of matches Hitler's mouth.
Well, we're moving on now.
And they show the people in the crowd and they're clapping. It's pretty well done.
That's funny because Hitler would not be a Jeffersons fan.
That's
for
correct.
Obvious reasons. Yeah.
Right.
The Jeffersons were not the Nazis' favorite show.
So you know how Chick-fil-A has come out and they have, made their stance known,
mm-hmm.
anti-gay. KFC loves gay people, apparently.
Do they?
John Goodman plays Colonel Sanders.
We all know that when it comes to the chicken of America, I prefer the white meat to the dark. But never in my 140 years on this earth have I ever harmed a gay. Hell, I prefer to see the world the way my hormone-loaded, antibiotically engineered chickens do. Without gender. Her beaks. Her butthole.
Well, so Colonel Sanders, much like Hitler, prefers the white meat to the dark.
Exactly. Conan O'Brien talked to Chaz, the intolerant Chick-fil-A chicken.
Their new mascot.
Apparently, their new mascot.
The only pickle a guy should put in his mouth is our Chick-fil-A classic. Yum.
You made your point. Stop right now.
Hey, if you want hot meat stuck between two buns, covered in sauce, the way God meant it to be enjoyed, it's Chick-fil-A or the flames of hell.
All right, Chaz.
This is a community gag reel, the show Community.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Brie is, she's one of our favorites.
We love her.
And she just breaks down into rapping.
I'm a double werewolf. No. I don't even care. Well, if you had to scare a wolf, then you better scare a wolf. That's right. That's bark, right. Bark, go and run away.
Yeah.
I don't have a day to spend on you, wolf, because I need a shoe, wolf, for my feet. Because a bear put y'all up too deep in the quicksand, y'all.
What is happening? That's on the set. The cameras are rolling. It's on the set.
That show has so many great actors on it. It looks like such a fun set to be on. And it's really hilarious to see the gag reel when they screw up lines and whatnot and yell at each other. It's very funny.
Allison Brie also does the bean noise. I call it the bean noise because Bean does it a lot.
Yes.
Which always creeps us out when Bean does it. But they cut together Allison Brie's noise back to back to back to back to back.
Whoa.
I'm not sure that we didn't get into porn there in the end, but
she's adorable.
You guys know Bob Ross? I didn't. I didn't know his name for sure. He was the guy on PBS. He had a giant afro, and he used to teach people how to paint.
The paint guy.
Way back in the day.
Yes.
And he was unbelievable because he made it look so easy, and his paintings were so great. And you know there's no way you could possibly do that the way he does it.
So if you want to see this video, go to kevinandbean.com. Bob Ross remixed Happy Little Clouds.
Let's build a happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees. There are no limits here. You start out by believing here. You can almost paint with anything. All you have to do is practice. There are no limits here. You start out by believing here.
Happy little trees.
That's nice.
Happy little
clouds.
So
sweet. And he was just one of those guys, by the way, who just looked so happy and just so mellow and peaceful and
yeah,
calm.
But I hated him because he made it feel like you should be able to paint, and if you couldn't, then you were a loser.
So you're glad he's dead.
Yeah, I'm glad he's dead. He deserved it.
That's what I thought.
At the Olympics, I don't know if you saw this video yet, but Ali Reyes is, I think, a
gymnast,
and her parents were in the crowd, and they had a camera on her parents, and they were mic'd. And they were really, really rooting for her. And her mom was crazy.
Come on, Allie. Come on, Allie. You got it. Let's go. Handstand. Let's go. Just the hop.
Stick it, please.
Stick it.
Yeah! I'm not sure we're not into porn there at the end either.
I don't know why the National Bollywood Orchestra needs to be accompanying them, but yeah, their parents are sitting in the stands, of course. They're in London, and they're moving every time she's moving on the balance beam or whatever, they're moving in the same direction, trying to somehow influence her with the force.
Like you would on a plane.
Hilarious.
If it's leaning one way, you lean the other way. That's kind of what they were doing. Thank God we have another Call Me Maybe parody, because there aren't enough of those.
Yeah.
This is Call Me Lochte over after the swimmer.
Hey, I'm not Michael.
Yeah. Call me Lochte.
All right.
That one's called Call Me Lochte.
That's where we're at now.
We didn't 5, make that 1,000th
Call Me Baby parody.
So the U.S. Olympic team had a party just before they went to London as kind of a, you know, just a bash to get together for everybody to say, let's go have a great time. And they put together a tribute to Muhammad Ali. And it is spectacular.
All it's amazing.
Old video of him when he's boxing and in his prime and mouthing off and rhyming.
And let me just say this, because there are a lot of people maybe who only know Muhammad Ali as an old man. You know, you see him trotted out, for instance, at this year's opening ceremony for the Olympics, and you go, wow, who's that old dude? The biggest star in the world for about 20 years. I mean, the most famous person on the planet. You couldn't go anywhere in the world where people didn't know and respect Muhammad Ali, and a former Olympian also. He won the gold in boxing in 1960. But this video is going to blow your mind, and it is great.
Go to kevinandbean.com. It's fantastic. You really have to see it. And I got to tell you, for, you know, a lot of generations have come where they smack talk. A lot of fighters smack talk. For some reason, it never made you mad at Muhammad Ali. You liked him more.
He's just so good at it.
Yeah, when he would smack talk, you go, yeah, that's great. You didn't think he was a dick or anything. He's just amazing. So go to the kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see that video.
Kevin and Bean, later man, Lambo.
That's T.I. right there with the Pretender.
Foo Fighters. It was Foo Fighters there.
Oh, T.I.'s next.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry. Confused. World famous K-Rock at 7:56.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Love is in the air. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis have finally stopped BSing us. Apparently, they are more than just friends. For a long time, they were claiming they were just pals who used to work together on That 70s Show, and they were just hanging out.
She's a good deal.
Since he broke up with his wife, Demi, and she was single, they were just spending some time together as friends.
Right?
You know what friends don't do? Friends don't whisk the other friend away to a 5-star resort in Bali. where the two have been hanging out, and they are no longer even bothered to try to keep their affection under wraps. Apparently, they were making out, and everyone.
I would not be hiding it if I were doing Mila Kunis.
Well, maybe. If you were, it would be amazing. You should be shouting it from the mountaintop.
Yeah, maybe they were trying to keep their private life private for as long as possible, but apparently.
But they didn't date at all in the 7 years they co-starred together on that show, right?
I don't know about that.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. About that. As far as we know, they didn't.
Interesting.
Who knows? This could be a rekindling.
She's awesome. Not a fan of him.
She is awesome, by the way. I get to hang out with Mila from time to time over on Family Guy.
Oh, right.
Sometimes we're waiting to record our stuff, and we'll be in the green room together, and we always sit and chat, and she's just the most down-to-earth, just charming, sweetheart of a person you'd ever want to meet. And
no.
Looking like that.
Yeah.
You could expect otherwise, because sometimes women who look like that act otherwise, but she's just such a regular, down-to-earth, funny, cute, adorable person. Yeah.
She's the real
one of my favorites. Also, Katy Perry has a new boyfriend.
Well,
just weeks after divorcing Russell Brand.
I'd say date. I don't know, boyfriend.
She is spending some quality time with John Mayer, is his name. He does okay, that John Mayer. He does all
Can
right.
Can we please have the ladies call in one day and explain what the draw is for greasy, skinny, little,
How
dorky John Mayer?
Dare you?
Is he attractive at all, Lisa?
It may not be that. He may
he looks
have
like a weasel.
Personality qualities that we have no idea.
We've seen him interviewed, though. Really he doesn't good. Seem particularly bright or entertaining or interesting, does he? Am I wrong about this?
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Maybe he's charming and thoughtful.
And maybe his body's a wonderland. Did you ever think about that?
Oh!
I'm just saying.
Can you imagine? Pencil right in the eye.
I'm just saying. Maybe
You're
that's what it
too
is.
Too hard to make the file.
I'm going to take a little sip of coffee. I'm going to reward myself for that one.
You shouldn't.
When one really hot chick goes there, everybody else starts to think,
he
what
must
does
have
she
something
know?
Going on.
Well, interesting you should say that, Lisa, because we've done a little research. We ran John Mayer's name up to the boys in the lab on the 8th floor.
Uh-huh.
And
they came back with a list of conquests of John Mayer's. This is a partial list of some of the women he has bedded.
Conquered.
Right? Miley Cyrus.
Really?
Been there, done that.
Just because he could, probably.
Kesha.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, knocked that out.
Bad news.
Vanessa Carlton.
He's not picky.
They were together from 2002 to 2003. Then
she's
moved
pretty
on to Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes. Yeah, she was the inspiration for Your Body's a Wonderland.
That's right. They did it for a long time.
And her body is a wonderland.
It is a wonderland. Yeah.
I like that. Especially correct. I like the roller coaster. That's my favorite ride over there in Wonderland.
Really, I like the love tunnel.
Oh, man, see, your else was lighthearted and funny, and then it just went right south.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Have an actual amusement park ride called a love tunnel. Come on.
We understand.
I believe it's the tunnel of love.
It is. Whatever it's called.
Not the love tunnel, because the love tunnel just makes it even creepier than it would have been had you said tunnel of love.
Wow.
Yeah, I like a love tunnel.
Yeah. Does she have extras?
Don't turn this on me.
Then he moved to one of my favorites, smoking
Ryan Gosling.
Hot, no, not Ryan Gosling. Smoking hot British actress Rhona Mitra.
Oh, I
and
love
if
her.
You she know Rhona Mitra? She was on Boston,
Heroes, right?
Yes, but she was also on the lawyer show with
Practice
Shatner and
Boston Legal.
Yeah. And the Practice. She was on the Practice as well.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
Then Jessica Simpson.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
When
We're
in the
still
good
talking
days
about John
in the
Mayer.
Good days.
John Mayer by the
in
way.
Her good you know, yeah. like her prime run, like Dukes of Hazzard, Daisy Dukes, Jessica Simpson. Then he got a little tired of that. Jessica, by the way, referred to him as sexual napalm in a Playboy interview. Oh no,
wow.
Vice versa. John referred to her as sexual napalm in a Playboy interview.
Okay.
Then, you know, after you're done knocking out Jessica Simpson in her prime, then you want to move on to Minka Kelly. You want to go over to Minka Kelly, spend a little time there and with Minka Kelly. Then maybe Jennifer Aniston. Maybe then you spend a little quality time with Jennifer Aniston. Then Taylor Swift. Give her a throw. How about Giada De Laurentiis, the host and chef of that cooking show that she has?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
And
come on. Stop now.
Socialite Rena Hammer. model Shiana Marie, and then of course Katy Perry, just to top things off most recently.
So that's what John Mayer's.
That's
been
a partial list of John Mayer.
That guy. What do you need him for?
I don't get it.
His
guys.
Career.
I need to learn guitar.
And I'm going to harsh your mellow right now. Sorry about that. I'm going to kill your buzz. But Dan Aykroyd speaking out today. This comes from trulydisturbing.com, a great website I get a lot of stories from. They just broke the news. Dan Aykroyd has announced that they finally have a workable script for Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah!
Right. They predict they will be in production early next year. They're starting already. The studio's on his side, he said. We've tried a few concepts that weren't right, but we've got a good structure, and we will make it happen. It is going forward. And when asked, he said, I can tell you, Bill Murray won't be involved.
Oh!
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
It's sad, but we're passing the torch to a new generation. Ghostbusters 3 can be a successful movie without Bill. It's time to make the third one.
And are you menstruating right now?
Bill is not on board for Ghostbusters
3. That hurts.
3. Look, you don't...
No bueno.
Don't make Ghostbusters 3 without Bill Murray. You just don't do it. You don't do it.
It's risky. I'll give you that.
You don't do it. I love Aykroyd. I love Harold Ramis. I love all the talent involved in that show. I understand they're trying to reboot it. They're going to pass it on to...
Ashton
Three
Kutcher.
Three new funny people.
No,
yeah, Ashton
God.
Kutcher, Wilder Valderrama, and Carrot Top. But if you're going to include the original cast, if you're not going to do a straight reboot and just recast it.
Agreed.
And ignore the old movies, if you're not going to do that, if you're going to meld the two, you got to have Peter Venkman in there.
Right? Yeah.
So, that made me sad.
That guy. What do you need him for?
That made me sad. You need him.
Trust me, Doto.
You need him.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Edward Furlong is 35 years old today. Sam Worthington celebrates his 36th birthday. Mary Louise Parker is 48. Butch Vig of Nirvana and Garbage fame is 57. Wes Craven celebrates his 73rd birthday. Actor Peter O'Toole is 80. And actor, director, writer, podcaster extraordinaire Kevin Smith, my good buddy, who you can see us both, by the way, Saturday night at the John Lovitz Comedy Theater up at Universal City Walk. Saturday night at 10 p.m. we'll be doing our Hollywood Babylon show for the first time in weeks. So come check us out and go to Babylon Ralph or Babylon Kev or thelovitz.com for details and tickets. Kevin celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Are we cool enough to interview T.I., Kevin? That's my concern as we open up the microphones.
Can I answer
here.
That?
Yes. Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
No, what are you, insane?
No, we're not.
You don't think so?
No.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest music stars of the last 10 years, T.I. joins us in studio, and he is a very talented actor, too, joining the cast in season 2 of the Kelsey Grammer Show on Starz called Boss. Let's welcome T.I. Hey. To the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey.
How are you, man? Good to see you.
Hey, man, cool and good to be seen.
That is... quite an entourage you're riding with today, T.I. How many guys you got rolling with you today?
I don't even think I have it. I'm rolling light today.
You're rolling light?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe for you.
Yeah. It's only about 3 guys with me.
Oh, that's it? You just got 3 with you?
Yeah, it's just about 3 guys and 2 oh, that's drivers.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's good to be T.I., isn't it?
Well, you know, it has its peaks and valleys.
It's good to be T.I. in 2012. Maybe 2009, not a good time to be T.I. But right now, you're loving it, right?
Right on, yeah.
Tell me about Boss. Everybody has a full schedule.
Uh-huh.
And we have the TV shows that we love.
Sure.
And I missed season 1 of Boss.
Okay.
Heard it was good, didn't have time to see it. But they sent out a screener with your first episode from the first episode this year, this season. And what a great show. I went back and got all of the old ones so that I could see it.
It's awesome.
Did you know about it before you got on it?
I did.
You did.
I actually knew about it when it was still in development because, oddly enough, you know, I'm fairly close with Kelsey.
You are?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Wait, well, I see you as a total Frasier fanatic.
Wait, from before Boss?
Yeah, from before Boss.
How are you friends with Kelsey Grammer?
Man, we met through mutual acquaintances, man, and we just, you know, kept in touch. We've been cool ever since.
Wait a minute, hold on.
He's cooler than he looks.
You and Kelsey Grammer, hold on. We interviewed him. We know. We like him. But it just seems like an unlikely friendship.
Right on.
He's so like a 60-year-old white dude, right?
Hey, man, I'm diversified.
Yeah. So, all right. So when you guys, you knew each other. So did he have something to do with the reaching out to you saying, hey, you should come out for this show? I think you'd be a good fit, or?
I mean, not him personally, but you know, I think that you know, the people who surround who are involved in the show, they had this character, and you know, it came to my attention that they had this character, and I went and met with the writers, the producers, and so on. And after I met with them, I think that, you know, they were sold on me, you know, playing the character of Trey Rogers.
How much, before we talk more about that character, how much acting had you done up till this point? This is a pretty high-profile gig, being on this show. Kelsey won the Golden Globe for his performance. I mean, is American Gangsters, is that your probably your biggest movie role that people would know?
American Gangster probably was the biggest, you know, with Ridley Scott and Denzel and Russell Crowe.
Yeah,
and
Ruby yeah D. That's big yeah, time. So, that was a great movie. Great movie.
Yeah, it was definitely a pleasure to be a part of. But Takers did pretty well. Number one at box office.
Oh, yeah, Takers. That's right. That's right. When did you decide? I mean, it took a lot of work and a lot of years to make it as big as you have in the rap game. But when did you decide, hey, I'd like to try me some acting, too? Or is that something you've always been interested in equally?
Yeah, I mean, I always had dreams and ambitions of making the transition into film. I just wanted the appropriate opportunity. And, you know, I had a few misfires, you know what I'm saying? They called me for a little film to audition for at one time. And
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
Nah, I didn't get it. It was this little film called Barbershop, you know.
That little thing.
Yeah, that little thing, you know. Yeah, you know, they miss me. You know? And another film that another guy, a buddy I know, he actually got the gig, and it was called a little film called Drumline.
Drumline, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But then my opportunity came with ATL, so I'm cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with Kevin on Boss. I missed it first time around. You know, I'm. It's on Stars.
What's wrong
which
with
is,
you guys? You guys don't have Stars Network.
We do.
You know what?
All
it is?
The shows you love. You don't have time to fit more.
You
in.
Can't watch everything. Well, you know, I missed Homeland first time around. You know, and now I'm kicking myself in the ass for not enjoying it every day it was on last year. But you can't watch everything. And I'm going back just like Kevin is now that you coming onto this show has kind of introduced me to Boss. It's kind of made me, you know, perk up my ears. And now I'm going back and watching season one, and it's phenomenal.
Well, thank you. I'm going to accept that thanks for season one, even though I wasn't involved.
Right, exactly, and our apologies.
Yeah, that's right. I accept your apologies as well. But you know, you can make up for it for season two.
Sure.
Right.
And we will. And Kelsey Grammer is such a badass on this show, too. I mean, you think you know him from playing Frasier Crane, but this is a totally different dude, and he is hardcore. I mean, it's like watching, you know, a Godfather movie or something like that. I mean, it's intense. Yeah.
Sopranos-esque.
It yeah, is. Sopranos meets The Wire meets, you know, some Law and Order. You know, it has a lot of.
And you seem a little shady. I got to be honest. Your character seems a little shady.
Oh, man. Come on. What do I know about that?
A little shady.
I'm a good actor, man.
All right. We want to talk some more about your character, Trey Rogers, and your cousin, Darius, who's awesome on the show as well, by the way. T.I. is here. Stars comes back for season two, August 17th. Stars is the network. Boss comes back on Stars. August 17th. More with our guest T.I. right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Live your life, whatever you like, dead and gone, what you know. So many hits from our guest in studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show, T.I. He is also acting on the new show, season two anyway, of Stars, new Boss with Kelsey Grammer. T.I. is here. Is being on The Kevin and Bean Show better or worse than federal prison so far, T.I.?
You know, I'm going to say it's still in the air, but I'm assuming it's going to be better.
It's still in the air.
I'm glad to hear that. You can follow T.I. on Twitter at T.I.P. And by the way, these pictures that you tweeted earlier in the week of the girls from your new video, the Go Get It video?
Yeah.
That's not the worst day a man has ever had at work, showing up for that.
Well, you know what, man? I figure, why not share that with the world?
Well, thank you for that. Yeah.
You're
a giver.
Very welcome. Yeah, there you go.
I appreciate that. I'm just curious. You're playing Trey Rogers on Boss, and he is a former gangbanger who's going legit, right?
Well,
we think.
Yes and no.
We think.
It's
you're
a hard road.
Looking for a career in politics? Is
this,
that right?
This is true.
Okay. Did you draw on, you know, kind of your own youth? And I mean, I don't know what your exact
was
circumstances.
Was I a gangbanger? No, I was not.
Were you a politician?
No, that's another no.
Okay.
Double right. negative.
No, I was wondering if you drew on your own youth, because look, a lot of people, and you've had some highly publicized troubles with the law, but a lot of people have a path and they can go in this direction or they can go in that direction. And sometimes it's a real struggle. And that sounds like it's kind of what Trey is going through right now, is what's right and what's wrong.
Sure. I mean, in the sense of, I came from a very sketchy form of life, and I had ambitions to parlay that experience into a much better future for myself. In that sense, I can say that I did, I had mm-hmm. something to draw from. But the specifics of what we did in that form of life are very much different.
Very different, yeah. What have been some of the memorable things that you've got to do, or scenes you've gotten to shoot on Boss that have been like super fun?
I got to do a scene with I got to do a scene with Sanaa Lathan.
Yeah.
And she's another new cast member. Her character Mona is
she's a fire plug.
Yeah, she's challenging, Kelsey's methods and his theories, and I don't think he appreciates that very much. and she doesn't really like the thought that I'm able to, work my way up in the ranks so quickly, knowing my background and knowing, where I come from.
Right.
Our scene was, it was entertaining to be able to, sit down and actually work alongside, across from Sanaa Lathan, as well as Kelsey, man. I got to do a scene with Kelsey that you will see later on in the season.
Well, in the first, that's when it feels real, by the way, when you realize you're on camera with freaking Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, it's a surreal feeling, man. But at the end of the day, you can't get caught up in your reality, because you got to stick to the character.
But that's why we couldn't be actors, because I'd be going, that's Kelsey Grammer. Right. I don't know what I'm doing here. When are they going to find out that I'm a fraud and toss me off the property?
Mid-scene. So, Kelsey, can I have you?
Right, exactly. So, the first episode, we're introduced to your character when somebody comes and wants your help. I have a clip of that, and I'd like to play it. This is Trey, and somebody wants your help.
Sure. Hope you ain't mind the wait. Getting ready for work. Doing politics. What's wrong? You never thought you'd see my ass straight up, huh?
Are you? Straight up?
You came all the way over here to ask me that, man?
Nah. I need your help, man.
You need my help. You ain't one of my guys. That's why I ain't got to do shit for you.
Come on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Good times. It just makes me nervous. These seeds are just so tense, How is you're top of the game in the music world. The business has changed a lot in the last few years. Since
sure.
You've been at it. How is it? How does it feel to you like it's going? Is it it's a tougher way to make a living than it used to be?
I mean, some may say.
For people starting, I would imagine it'd be a lot harder.
Absolutely. Well, I actually think it's easier for them.
You don't have to
depend on a corporate sponsor or a federation to right. adopt you in order to make it. You can become a YouTube sensation.
Yeah.
You can have, a million Twitter followers for some reason, and you could garner attention for so many other, explanations other than talent.
Does that make it harder on you then?
I mean, it doesn't make it. It does clutter the pipeline
right.
and congest the traffic, but it don't make it hard. I think that for a lot of people, it's about moments and it's about songs. For me, it's about me. People buy into my story, and I'm speaking my life, and can't nobody else do that but me.
Mm. There you go. So it doesn't make it harder at all. Just do your thing.
That's it.
Just do your thing.
Acting is this a bug that's bit you pretty hard? I mean, of course, you're on Stars now. You got a multi-episode arc. Is this something you'd like to just keep doing, for the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. I love to. I see acting as, music is my first love, and I will always, you know, be inspired and just filled with the love of music. However, acting is something that I could see myself doing, you know, for many years to come.
Well, you do it well, and you've had how many acting lessons?
Zero.
None.
All right. T.I. We got it. And his watch costs more than my house, and he's better than I am.
Don't
I
do that. Nah,
don't
nah,
do that.
Don't do that.
All right. I can't believe we're out of time already. I'm so glad we got a chance to meet, and really grateful to you for turning us on to this great show, Boss, too. Man, it's so good. I'm so happy for your success on it, too.
Well, mate, well thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys for tuning in for the second season and catching up on the first season.
We're going
season.
Back well, first because
you
of
know, you. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you. Hats off.
Exactly, man. Come back anytime. Thank you, T.I.
All right, now.
Man, it's a parade of famous rappers here on the show. We got T.I., who just walked out of the studio. And then our old friend Dr. Drew joining us on the phone right now. Of course, we famously have heard him rap in the past. How are you, Doctor?
Oh, my God. That's pretty funny.
Sounds surprised.
We're not going to have time to talk about this, but I just want you to know you have inspired a phone topic that we may get to tomorrow as a result of your HLN show this week where you discussed whether you should tell your partner she is fat. It was a hilarious conversation you had on the HLN show.
Or he is fat.
Well, all right. Everyone agreed that you should tell your male partner, but there was great disagreement about whether the veracity should be maintained as it pertains to your female partner.
What
the women in the little panel I was working with said was that ultimately you should just be telling your female partner you love them no matter what. No matter what they ask you, I just love you. I love you as you are.
As heavy as you get, like stuff like that?
Kevin, that may be your tactic.
And then you had a male guest on who was like, oh, right, I should just lie to her. Yeah, tell her she looks great. And then the fireworks went, and it was very, very funny.
Well, the real comedy was with Shirley Ralph, and she said to that gentleman, she said, you know what, I'm going to pray for you.
Anyway, we're going to definitely do that later this week or next on the Kevin DeBean Show. But let's talk about the story that has been in the news a lot, Dr. Drew, and I know you've also discussed this on the HLN show. I didn't know until well after the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, that this nut job, James Holmes, I guess is his name, had been to a psychiatrist. He had been seeing a psychiatrist who detected, hey, this dude's really, really trouble. Fill us in on what's going on with this.
Well, I actually predicted that. There was no way a guy that was as ill as he clearly is could have been running around without getting to some sort of mental health services. So lo and behold, it turns out he was seeing a psychiatrist there at the university, and she became very concerned enough to refer him to what's called the threat assessment team, which is every university, since Virginia Tech, every university has been mandated to set these things up. And University of Colorado has a very good one, but she referred to him. Here's the basic issue that that psychiatrist was faced with. Was he threatening enough to refer to law enforcement? Evidently not. Was he imminently a danger to self or others so she could put him on a 72-hour hold against his will? Evidently not. But she was in a position to refer him to this threat assessment team who could have taken action. But because he withdrew from the University of Colorado a couple days later, they basically said, oh, well, you know, we have no jurisdiction. What are you going to do? Which, by the way, is a contestable point because these assessment teams are each open to determine their own legal, well, really their own ethical standards. By any reasonable standard, they should have followed through on this, in my opinion.
I wonder if that's why he withdrew.
He withdrew because he was sick. He was really ill. He clearly has either... You know, there's only really two possibilities, paranoid schizophrenia with or without drugs or some severe methamphetamine problem that made him severely paranoid. And the fact is, you know, the problem with this case is we don't want to stigmatize people with mental illness, but by the same token, it's a reminder. You may not be responsible for your illness, but you are sure as hell responsible for your treatment. You will hurt yourself and other people if you don't follow a doctor's orders.
Right. Right. Now, there have been a bunch of things that have come out as a result of this shooting, which I guess is coming up on 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I guess it is. One is the age-old gun debate, and a lot of people, you know, say we're never going to get anywhere on that. But this mental health issue that you talk about, Dr. Drew, there are lots of crazy people running around there who don't ever see a doctor or psychiatrist or anything like that, that are completely undiagnosed. There's no way that you're ever going to catch all those people. They're always going to be nut jobs who fall through the cracks.
Well, to some extent, you're right. I would argue that most people do eventually get to some aspect of the mental health or medical system, but they don't, the point that you're making that is accurate, they don't necessarily follow through. They go to the streets, they resist, they do whatever, and you're right. And the way the legal system is set up, no one can mandate them to take care. But another thing you point out about the gun laws, you know, I ask you guys this. Everyone's pointing fingers at the theater and the security guards and the police. You know, why do we got to sue somebody? Why do you sue the gun makers and the ammunition makers? How about that? Maybe that would make a point for some sort of civil liability.
You can't ever sue those people because they have unlimited funding from the NRA. You will never win a fight against an organization like that.
Well,
however,
but wait a minute. I think that's true in terms of changing the laws, but how about in terms of civil liability? I mean,
But wait a minute.
They assume the same liability that the theater and everybody else assumes.
But Drew, I mean, by that token, you're suing a car maker because they got in an accident. I mean,
yeah, I disagree with all. Look, I understand the grieving family members. I disagree with. I hope none of them get money from Warner Brothers or from the movie theater because they didn't have anything to do with what happened. It wasn't their fault at all.
Was that Bean said that or Kevin?
Yeah, that was me.
I agree with you guys. I'm not a big fan of, you know, tort civil liability stuff, but trust me, people are going to start aiming at anybody that has money.
Yeah.
And you know, they're already rattling their sabers. So I'm just saying, if they're going to do that, how about the gun manufacturers? Just saying.
Well, I would say, how about how a guy like this legally can buy thousands of rounds of ammunition over the internet in a very short period of time, and that doesn't set off any red flags? That would be a concern of mine. Not the guns as much as it is the ammo in this case.
Well, that's the insanity of all of this, that you can do those kinds of things and have these great assault weapons. And that's when people look at it and go, come on, let's be rational about this. But, you know, it's a non-ending battle. The three of us are certainly not good at all. Lisa, you got a solution?
Well, I was with Dean about the ammunition, and I don't know how the NRA would defend an argument that if someone is buying, you know, thousands and thousands of rounds all at once, there's not a problem.
They defend it by saying slippery slope. That's how they defend it. Yeah, if we can't have 5,000, can we have 4,000? If we can't have 4,000, can we have 3,000? Where does it stop? That's how they defend
it. Chris Rock said that they need to make bullets $1 million, and then you really, really need to hate somebody before you shoot them.
Let me get back. Just one more final point on this, Dr. Drew, since you brought it up. We're talking about the Aurora, Colorado shooter here. There are lots of people who are disturbed, right? Lots of people. Very few ever go on to act, right? Aren't there? I mean, there's nothing you can do about people who have mental illness. There just isn't. Well, you can't catch them all.
Oh, but you said three different things there. One is absolutely accurate, that you shouldn't think because somebody has, let's say, schizophrenia, let's say that's what this guy ends up having, that they're going to be violent or dangerous. That is unfair to anybody with that chronic illness. Most of them struggle quietly on their own. They work with us among society. You wouldn't know that they have it. Number two, people have trouble getting to the system. You said we can't catch them all. I think we do a pretty good job of getting to all of them. The hard part, I can tell you, as somebody who's worked in that field, is getting people to comply. Whether it's addiction or schizophrenia, people don't like to. People are entitled in this country, they have rights, you know, to not follow doctor's orders, in spite of what the consequence might be to themselves, their family, or in cases like this, to an entire community.
Good point. Dr. Drew's weekday show on HLN airs at 9 or 6, depending on your satellite cable system. It's a terrific show. And, of course, he co-hosts Loveline 5 nights a week with our own Psycho Mike here on the world-famous K-Rock. Drew, great to talk to you, man. Have a good week.
Thank you, guys.
Ralph Garman steps in every hour about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show with a look at what's going on in Hollywood. It's the showbiz beat.
Hey, yeah, Ralph. Yeah. Tragic news today.
Uh-oh.
What? From trulydisturbing.com, one of the websites I go to regularly to get showbiz news. Interview with Dan Aykroyd is posted there. Talking about Ghostbusters 3. New writer has taken on the project named Ethan Coen, and he has come up with a script that everyone's very happy with. Dan Aykroyd said, "We've got a brilliant new writer on it. We'll be passing the torch to a new generation. We're working on it to make sure it's just right to satisfy our fans. I'm confident we'll be going into production in the next year. The studio's on our side."
Well, that's great news. Why are you sad about
great
that?
News.
That's awesome.
Yeah, let me just see if there's anything else in the story I want to mention. Oh, when asked if Bill Murray was on board, Aykroyd replied, "No, I can tell you he won't be involved."
No!
It doesn't feel like Ghostbusters without him.
You know why, Lisa? Because it's not Ghostbusters without him.
Right?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
People didn't come out of GoBusters saying, "Oh, I loved Ernie Hudson so much."
I did. That's a big Twinkie. I love that.
Yeah, he's got one line.
And I remember it.
I know, because you are
me
special needs. But he was a lovely supporting character in that film, but it wasn't really.
That's
wasn't
a big
really.
Twinkie.
Just saying. What the hell are they thinking?
Yeah, you'd think that would be a make or break it thing, but I'm sure there are so many people who've never seen either of those movies. If it's good, sure.
Yeah. So that means we're going to get Adam Sandler as a new Ghostbuster.
I don't see that.
With David Spade and Kevin James. And
what
just
you're
take
saying
my
is
life.
They're not rebooting it. It's not like they're cleaning house and bringing in all new people, are they?
It's a reboot. They're passing the baton. The original Ghostbusters will star as older Ghostbusters who are getting too old for this S, and then they will recruit a new batch of Ghostbusters, and then those new Ghostbusters, I'm sure, will do several films, and they'll try to make another franchise out of it.
So you either do it with the old people passing the torch, or you get rid of all the old people and just do it with the young people.
Right.
But you don't do a half-ass version.
Just reboot it and have it as if it never happened before, and then there's these three new people who learn how to be Ghostbusters. But you don't. If you're going to have the original cast show up, you can't do it without Murray. You got to have him at least as a ghost. Maybe he's dead. Maybe Venkman's dead and he shows up as a ghost or something and he's the first guy they have to zap or something.
He'll make an appearance of some kind.
I would like to think so, but he really has been dragging his feet for this whole process. I got to get on the horn with my buddy Catherine Reitman.
Yeah, you do.
Because she is the daughter, of course, of Ivan Reitman, director of the original Ghostbusters films and the producer, and I bet he has some inside information. Maybe we can find something out. We can get her to pump dad for some info.
That sounds bad, but all right.
Stop it. Sick, twisted F. Jennifer Lopez is crazy, right?
Yeah.
She tells Life and Style magazine this week, she absolutely would get married again. I will never give up on that dream, she said. The three-time divorcee said to Life and Style magazine. How many marriages are too many? At what point do you say, I am not a good marriage person? This particular institution does not work properly for me and whatever it is that I need in an interpersonal relationship.
We've asked that about, you know, Larry King and other celebrities who get married 4, 5, 6, 7 times. At some point, it just seems like stop it, right?
I think three is the magic number. She's had 3 marriages. Mm-hmm. Each has ended in divorce. I think now we have to say to her no more.
And she's still relatively young to have gone through 3 marriages already.
I know. I guess that's why she thinks she still wants to get married, because she feels she still has a lot of life left to live, and to which I would say, too bad. You burned it. You burned your chances.
One was only 24 hours.
It's like
right?
baseball. It's like baseball. You get 3 strikes.
24 hours.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of Britney, I think.
You're thinking of Britney Spears. Yeah, this is Jennifer Lopez we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
She was married to Ohani Noah.
Sure.
Legendary surf guitar king.
Nope.
No, I don't know who he was. Then she was married to somebody else.
Right.
Chris Judd. Right? Chris Judd, her backup dancer.
Yes, backup dancer, right.
And then Mark Anthony.
Right. Yeah. And now she wants to marry another backup dancer.
No. No. No more for you.
She does.
No more marriage
for you.
You're
just denying it.
Jennifer Lopez.
Overruled.
And this, for me to say that, I think takes a lot. Because I have a pretty narrow view of how many times someone should get married. And you would think that I would be able to expand that view to allow someone of the caliber of star of Jennifer Lopez to find some room in there for her.
Come on. Just get to it.
But in this particular case, there's no room for J-Lo. Oh! Yeah, I turned it on its head. Hey, you know what we should do? Every time a heterosexual gets married a fourth time, you should allow one gay couple to get married. We should just work them in slowly, you know? If you're going to F around with marriage and you're going to disrespect it 4 times, then we got to let a gay couple in there and let them give it a shot.
It's like a bouncer. It's like a bouncer with a full club.
That's right. You get a velvet rope, and for every, you know, every 3 that leave, you let another person
in
the
3
club.
In.
All right. Just saying. Chick-fil-A. Don't get me started. Did you see all the lesbians kissing at Chick-fil-A yesterday?
No, I didn't.
It was awesome.
It's the best.
It's the best. Just a bunch of girls making out in front of Chick-fil-A.
Love it.
Spectacular. Hey, good news if you, like me, are a Mad Men fan. 3 of the stars of the AMC hit show are in final negotiations for deals that would keep them on the series for 2 more seasons. January Jones, Vincent Kartheiser, and Elizabeth Moss are all very close to signing new deals, along with Christina Hendricks, who's always already signed her. So we will get at least 2 more years out of that cast and Mad Men if all things go well.
And that's where it ends, right? Season 7 is the last one anyway, so we get them to the end. That's great.
But I want it intact. I want the whole cast to be there. I was concerned at the end of the last season when Elizabeth Moss left the company that maybe we'd be losing her, but apparently she's going to be around for a while. So that's good
news. Kevin, at what point are you going to jump on the Mad Men bandwagon? What point are you going to start watching that? You going to wait till it's off?
I don't. I'm pretty good.
Really?
I'm all full up.
You don't know what you're missing.
Maybe I don't.
You don't know what
it's
you're missing.
It's a risk I'm willing to take.
Well, you're...
I got a lot of good TV that I watch, and some real crappy TV that I watch.
But remember how happy you were to discover, for instance, Boss, we were just talking about with T.I.? I mean, you missed that show first time around, and then people said, hey, it's great, check it out, and you did, and now you love it, and you're so excited about seeing it. I think that might happen with Mad Men, too, and you'd have season after season to watch. It's so good, is what I'm saying.
Right.
It has won Best Drama Emmy, like, the past
4 years in a row.
17 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Okay. Right. Kevin has enough good in his life.
A lot of people are saying it's pretty good.
All full up of good.
I love that episode of The Boss where him and Clarence are on stage and they do like 4 hours.
That's Bruce Springsteen.
I'm not interested in that.
Whole different. This is called Boss.
More movie news. The Raging Bull debate has been settled. Raging Bull 2, the sequel to the Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro film.
Is Bill Murray going to be in it?
He won't. And Martin Scorsese Robert De Niro have no involvement in this film as well. And that's what the problem was. MGM was like, hey, you really can't call it Raging Bull 2, and it has nothing to do with Raging Bull. You're just trying to cash in on one of the great films of all time. So they were suing them. It's finally been settled. The producers of the story, which is about Jake LaMotta, the boxing legend that the first film was about, has officially changed the title to The Bronx Bull. So there'll be no confusion with Raging Bull, and guaranteeing also that no one will go to see it. So we've got that going for us. And more movie news. They have announced who the villain for Thor 2 will be. It's Christopher Eccleston.
That guy. What would you need him for?
Leave Chris Eccleston alone. He was Doctor Who for a while. He played Doctor Who for a bit over there on the BBC, and now he is signed on to play the bad guy in Thor 2. Malekith the Accursed. He will be Malekith.
That's not
accursed.
A name.
He has a lisp.
That is not a name.
we of course, everyone knows Malekith the Accursed. He was the villain from the Thor comics who was the ruler over the dark elves of Svartalfheim. Come on.
There's no way.
It's a children's story.
There's no way what you're saying is true.
The dark elves of Svartalfheim.
That's just.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
That's not a thing.
He once wielded the casket of ancient winters. Remember that?
No.
Remember he did that?
No one remembers that.
Anyway, he's going to take on Thor, so. Svartalfheim. Today's celebrity birthdays. Edward Furlong's 35 years old today. Kevin co-starred with him in a movie. He was just talking about that. Kevin played Mr. Humphreys in a movie called, what was the name of the film again?
Couldn't tell you.
Dark Stool? Dark. What was it called?
Dark
Real. It was a medical drama.
Dark Real. Bloody
Realm?
Stool?
I don't know.
Bloody Real.
Kevin's been in so many movies, he can't even bother.
What was the name of the one movie you were in?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Realm? Do we have his scene? Do we have his scene?
No, we don't have that.
We got to find Kevin's scene.
You're looking at beer mug for that.
Yeah, right. One of my favorites.
Dark Real.
Dark Real.
Thank you, King.
I thought we said Dark Real. Yeah.
Thank you, King. Yeah, we weren't sure.
King Mexico said that. But Kevin played Mr. Humphrey, and he was a gay bar patron.
That was great.
It is weird.
Bumped into him and said, excuse me.
Since we don't have the clip, that was great.
It was fascinating that Kevin had a 5-second scene in the movie, yet chose to play him gay.
It was. An interesting choice.
Weird.
Hey, Kevin is an actor. He likes to give depth even to the smallest of roles.
Right. Thank you, Ralph.
There's nothing wrong with that choice. It was just unusual that he picked it for a 5-second role.
That's why I picked it, B.
Excuse me. Sam Worthington from Terminator Salvation is 36 years old. Of course, he's gone on to do many other things, including the Clash of the Titan films. Kevin Smith, my buddy, director, actor, writer, podcaster extraordinaire, celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Mary Louise Parker is 48. Judge Lance Ito celebrates his 62nd birthday today. He, of course, was famously the judge in the O.J. Simpson trial. Butch Vig of Nirvana and Garbage Fame is 57. Wes Craven, 73 years old, and Peter O'Toole celebrates his 80th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have tickets for the world premiere of The Campaign starring Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. What we're looking for now is if you can call in and do your impression of Will Ferrell in one of his movies.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be fun.
Sounds like trouble.
Any Will Ferrell movie that you love, any line that you love, you call, you do an impression of him, and we'll pick the ones that we like and send them to the world premiere of that movie coming up next.
Seriously, who's funnier than Will Ferrell, and who's funnier than Zach Galifianakis? Aren't they like two of the best guys out there?
Agreed.
Yeah, and they're in this movie together called The Campaign. It doesn't open up till next weekend, but you can see it tonight on the red carpet with the stars, along with Jason Sudeikis and Dylan McDermott and a bunch of other great actors in the film, too. You can see it tonight at the Grauman's Chinese Theater. If you call right now at 1-800-520-1067, we are looking for your Will Ferrell impressions, whatever line you like from any of Will's movies. What's this game called?
It's called You Be Willin'.
His name is Will Ferrell, and he's got a lot of movies. You have an impersonation, that's your only duty.
Duty.
You'll win tickets to his new movie that's called Campaign. Let's hear what you got, but don't be lame.
You be willing, 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 willing. You be willing, 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 willing. You be willing.
Oh!
Wicked, wicked, wicked!
Yeah!
Yes. That goes into the Omar Intro Hall of Fame. That's strong! All right, so let's go to our callers. They'll tell us what Will Ferrell movie they're going to be doing, and then we'll just it's a gut feeling on how enjoyable it is, right?
Right, exactly. They make us laugh, or we think it's good, you get tickets.
You get tickets, okay.
Leanne.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing.
All right, what Will Ferrell movie are you going to be quoting from?
My favorite movie of all time, Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Oh, we're here to hear something from the great Ron Burgundy. Good luck, Leanne.
All right. I'm in a glass case of emotion. The man, he just bashed it, and he put it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
I like it.
You win.
Sold the hell out of that.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Leanne. Say hi to Will Ferrell for us tonight. Nice job.
Oh,
all right, let's go to Alex. Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
Hello.
You be willing. What movie?
Elf.
Oh, great movie. Great Will Ferrell role, too. Let's hear it.
I'm singing. I'm in the store, and I'm singing. I'm in the store, and I'm singing.
It wasn't the funniest of his lines, but I think he delivered that line as well as he could.
He
left
enthusiasm.
This reviewer cold. What did you guys think? You're down with him?
I'm
King of Mexico says no, so you gotta go. Sorry,
Alex.
Nice try, though. Thank you for playing. We appreciate it. You can certainly call back.
I didn't know Dave could overrule us. How is this happening? Let's go to Angel. Hi, Angel.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good. What movie?
Old School.
Old School.
Oh, Frank the Tank. Let's hear some Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
Anytime.
All right. We're going streaking. Come on, you guys are going streaking to the quad.
Thanks for calling.
I don't know what it is. It's hard to put your finger on it, but it needed a little something extra, didn't it?
Agreed.
I don't know whether it was more dialogue or...
he didn't have his heart in it, man.
Better. I think he was holding back.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to Old School with Daniel. He's going to try some Frank the Tank for us. Daniel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're playing You Be Willin'.
You Be Willin'.
You guys worked way too hard on that intro. All right, I'm going to do a line from Old School.
All right.
Let's go for it. You're crazy, man. I like you, but you're crazy.
I think we have a winner.
I think so, too.
I like
congratulations. You're going to the red carpet with the stars tonight. Thank you very much for playing. Let's go to Jose now. He's on line six. Jose, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What film are you doing for us?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean.
Hi.
What? Lisa May.
All right. We got the highs out of the way, Jose. What movie?
I'm doing Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. It gets the people going.
Yeah. That's a great line when Will Ferrell says it.
Thank you for playing. Let's go to Victor. Victor's on line eight. We're playing a game, believe it or not, that's called You Be Willin'.
You Be Willin'.
Hey, Victor.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
How are you?
Morning, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to be doing Will Ferrell's cameo from Wedding Crashers.
Love it.
All right, here we go. Ma, where's the meatloaf? We want it now. I don't even know what she's doing back there. I don't know what she's doing. Man, you just almost got nunchucked.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. No question. Well done. Well done.
Oh, that's sweet. All right, do we have more?
Let's do one more. Let's do Chelsea. Let's go back to Chelsea. She's on line five.
All
I think
right.
she's gonna. I think we're going to close this out with some more Ron Burgundy. It's
going
weird
well.
That the ladies are doing Ron Burgundy. I love that.
They love the Anchorman.
Hi there.
All right, Chelsea, let's hear it.
I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly. Mm-mm-mm. Hello, you look awfully nice tonight.
Maybe don't wear a bra next time.
Yes! I say yes!
I say yes as well.
Congratulations. Thanks for playing You Be Willin'.
You Be Willin'.
Oh!
Wicked, wicked, wicked!
Yeah! 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, first things first, what we have to do is have a little film festival. Look, Kevin Ryder Film Festival.
I don't think that's necessary.
That sounds fun.
Let's get right to the showbiz.
We were talking about the birthdays last hour. I mentioned that Edward Furlong, actor, celebrates his 35th birthday. And then we talked, of course, about the famous screen pairing of Kevin Ryder and Edward Furlong in the film Dark Stool.
Dark Reel.
Yeah. And I don't know which one of those guys, Furlong or Ryder, is in worse shape today, by the way.
Furlong's missing, isn't he?
I think so.
Disappeared for a while. At least we know where Kevin is, physically at least, if not mentally.
How dare you.
So we talked about Kevin's role as Mr. Humphrey in Dark Reel, and we didn't have a clip to play, sadly. But luckily, one of our K-Rock listeners rose to the challenge and let us know that it's available on YouTube. I think if you go to The Great Kevin Ryder on YouTube, you can find Kevin's clip, his masterful performance as Mr. Humphrey in the famous bar sequence of the classic film Dark Reel. Here for your audio enjoyment is Kevin Ryder.
No time like the present.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
That's amazing. Could I please hear
Why?
That again?
Yeah, one more time.
I don't think we have time.
I think we have time for one more screening.
No time like the present.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Why have the
icky girl just bumped into me at a bar? Excuse me.
Why have the offers not been pouring in?
I don't know. I don't know.
How did you get in this movie, Kevin?
Friend.
Somebody, a friend of yours, was making the film and said, hey, you want to be in it?
Yeah. Does your friend live in an old photo mat or something where there's no other actors available to him at all?
He just wanted me to do it, and I said, sure, and then I did it, and then afterwards I begged him to take it out, and he wouldn't, because he thought it was funny.
Well, he's smart.
He was right.
A town full of actors, and he asks you to play that role.
How many people could have brought that line to life like I did, though?
Well, that's true.
Thank you.
It's amazing in two words how much you're able to impart to the audience. I mean, I hear that and I go, well, there's a guy who's not going to Chick-fil-A.
Excuse me. Stupid.
What else you got, Ralph?
I've got a story about someone with almost as much talent as Kevin Ryder. Courtney Stodden is in the news again.
Yes. How dare you, sir.
17-year-old Courtney Stodden, who made a splash when she married 51-year-old Lost actor Doug Hutchinson, also from the Green Mile. Well, she is 17 now. Doug is 52.
I don't sound sexy.
And you know, all that she's ever wanted, really, is to have her own reality show, and it looks like it's going to happen.
Really?
She is famous just because she wants to be famous, right?
Yes. Her momager, Krista Keller, has confirmed to CelebBuzz.com that shooting has begun at a top-secret location for Courtney's reality show.
Top secret location.
No word on what network will be carrying the reality show. Oh, I'm sorry. What internet server will be carrying the reality show. But here's what she tweeted. First of all, her momager, Krista, said, "People are going to be very excited. I'll be there with her on the show, and her husband will be by her side also." So mom is in on the action, too. That's the only reason mother must have let her marry this 50-year-old dude, right?
Of course.
Because he was an actor from Hollywood.
Right.
And she wanted her daughter to be famous, and she wanted to be famous via her daughter. Courtney herself tweeted, "FYI, Stodinistas." Apparently, she calls her fans the Stodinistas.
Oh, no.
"We'll be MIA for about 3 weeks, packing up and heading out to shoot a reality show. Love you all. Triple X. God bless. Courtney." Maybe she means kiss, 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 but I like to read it as Triple X.
You never know with her.
Never do. So there you go. We have no word exactly on the details, but we know there is something being shot somewhere with someone for something.
I'm so surprised that those two are still together, and I'm also so surprised that there hasn't been some sort of murder-suicide at their house.
Oh, stop it.
Both of those things are a
fake
surprise.
Fake boobs, fake lips,
right?
Fake nose, fake cheekbones. Mm-hmm. She's fake.
No, she's not. She's God. She God is her plastic surgeon.
That's right.
So they famously
remember
said.
She went on the Dr. Drew show to prove that she hadn't had implants, and they did an MRI on her or something or whatever.
Drew's finest moment, I think, was when he was examining her to see her fake boobs.
That's what he went to medical school for. Yeah. Chip is posting Kevin's movie clip at KROQ.com right
Yay!
Now.
Hey,
just
hey.
A couple, if you want to see the visuals Come that on. Go with the audio on that, we'll have it for you up very any
Excuse
second now.
Me.
These are dicks.
Excuse me. For posting that guy.
What do you need him for?
MGM has finally set a release date for Red Dawn, the reboot. It is the remake of the 1984 classic film starring Patrick Swayze, C. Thomas Howell, Leah Thompson, Charlie Sheen, Jennifer Grey. It's one of the great films of all time.
It is, but great bad.
Yes, exactly.
It is so bad.
It is. If you had to boil the decade of the 80s down into a gooey substance and put it inside a capsule,
yeah,
that capsule would be called Red Dawn.
It's horrible and worth watching because of that.
Go Wolverines!
Because the Russians are going to just parachute right into the middle of the country.
Well, they do. They're taking over America and they're attacking. And these band of scrappy teenagers have to fight off the Russians. The Wolverines.
That could happen, man. You don't know.
Go Wolverines! The new film, this time it's the North Koreans who invade a small town in Washington State.
I'm a Wolverine. And my hatred keeps me warm, a Wolverine. Yeah. So you Russians best be warned. Shooting commies, drinking deer blood, peeing in the radiator. Look up there, here comes a really angry Russian helicopter. It has been a Red Dawn.
Yeah, that's from Red Dawn the musical, of course. The new version is the North Koreans who invade a small town in Washington State, but it's still a group of high schoolers called the Wolverines who try to take back their town.
They're everywhere.
Chris Hemsworth and Josh Hutcherson.
Wow.
Are the stars.
That's a high octane cover.
This remake was made in 2009.
What?
Oh, that's not good.
So these guys weren't even celebrities. They weren't stars. They were unknowns, basically, when this was made.
And this is going to be in the theaters?
Yeah.
Wow.
It took this long.
We're finally going to see it on the big screens.
Yeah,
you pipe down, woman.
That seems bad.
I want to see this. Go Wolverines!
In other words,
the chair
it's old.
Is against the wall. The chair
yeah.
is against the wall.
Got about the code.
John has a long mustache.
Yes, he
John
does.
John has a long mustache.
That's right. Really from the movie.
That's the code. That's how they get to talk to each other in code.
John has a long mustache.
So this movie never would have seen the light of day if both of those guys hadn't gone on to stardom to now make it worthwhile to release, right?
Exactly.
So maybe it's that bad.
Which is good for us.
We could hope.
And while we're talking about the Hemsworth boys, Chris's brother Liam is in the news. He is in the city of Philadelphia, my hometown, the city of brotherly love, filming a new movie called Paranoia all day. And word is, he is not having a good time. Not because the filming's not going well, but it's because his girlfriend, Miley Cyrus, refuses to leave his side and is staying with him in Philadelphia, making him crazy.
Oh, no.
The website RadarOnline.com reports that he's working hard all day. She goes out and gets loaded in the city of Philadelphia, and then can't stop talking about her adventures at night all day to him when he's tired after a long day on the set and would rather read
then,
his script or
then,
sleep or anything else.
And then I went to another
store.
It was
pretty cool.
And then I went to another bar, and it was pretty cool. And that's how the Liberty Bell, and it was pretty cool.
Just did that all day, and he wants to kill himself. So I'm calling
that.
Upon my Philadelphian brothers to take her out.
Do what's right.
So I'm going to. Pardon me for a second while I activate my cell in Philadelphia, won't you?
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall.
Give them the code. Now they know. Take Miley out. Today's celebrity birthdays: Edward Furlong. Oh, Kevin's a co-star from.
Come on now.
Dark Stool. Can we play a little scene from Dark Stool real
That's
quick?
Not the name of it.
I'm sorry, Red Stool. Red Stool. Can we play a little?
I don't think we could find it in time.
Just one more time.
Because we don't have
Kevin's
time.
Kevin's scene from.
No time like the present.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. Edward Furlong's 35 years old today.
And if you want to see Kevin in a tie, check out the clip too, by the way. You don't see that very often.
He's like a film noir flashbacky thing. Kevin plays like a 1940s dude. It's awesome.
That's me. That's all about me.
Kevin loves the 40s. That's his favorite decade.
You know I love wearing suits and I love the 40s.
Oh, loves them. Sam Worthington is 36 years old today. Mary Louise Parker celebrates her 48th birthday. Butch Vig, producer, and of course drummer. You know him from his work with Nirvana and in the band Garbage. 57 years old, Wes Craven is 73. Actor Peter O'Toole celebrates his 80th birthday. And my good buddy, director, actor, podcaster, writer, comic book writer, guy does it all, Renaissance man, Kevin Smith, celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Kevin and I are returning to Hollywood Babylon this Saturday night at the Lovitz. You want to check us out? Saturday night at 10, you can go to thelovitz.com for tickets. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Beat Show. Beer mug on the red carpet. For Total Recall.
So, Beer Mug and Colin Farrell talking to one another is what you're telling me.
And he talked to Kate Beckinsale. We have
her.
And we have Kate Beckinsale on the show tomorrow, and I asked Beer Mug first thing, and Bean's question was exactly the same. Do we need to apologize? Is there a problem? Because Mug's had a first shot at Kate Beckinsale.
No.
I don't even know if I want to talk to Kate Beckinsale now that she's talked to Beer Mug.
She's been ruined sullied
for me. Yeah, she's been sullied.
We don't need Beer Mug's hand-me-downs. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
We're also going to discuss telling women that they're fat.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do you do it?
Sure, let's do that.
And if you do, how do you do that?
And Lisa, there's something we need to talk to you about tomorrow, too.
Right. Oh, completely unrelated.
I want to talk to Lisa about her jam box. I heard her talking about her jam box.
I love my jam box.
I heard her talking about her jam box earlier in the show. I was like, I could hear Lisa talk about her jam box all day long.
I think you will.